Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the LC and Jack Radio Show, live from New York. And now, here are your hosts, LC and Jack.
Welcome to the LC and Jack Radio Show with your boys, LC and the Bread Man, holding it down. Give us a shout here in the studio. You can reach us live and direct at area code 347-843-4738. Up close and personal, Urban Talk Radio. Well, we thank you for joining us for another edition of the show. I guess the holiday edition, the Thanksgiving edition. And I tell you, I'm still full from all that turkey, and I think I got feathers growing on my back here. That's so much turkey that I devoured Thanksgiving Day. But it was really great, family, friends, a great opportunity to just spend time with those people that you love, and let's not take it for granted that you know, you're going to see them tomorrow or next week or next year. You have to enjoy the moment and enjoy. Give thanks for all that you have, all the ones that are there for you. And what else can you say? It's just a great time. And the next big holiday is right around the corner. So just sit back, relax, and continue to enjoy great radio here on the LC and Jack Radio Show. Again, give us a call, 347-843-4738. The Bread Man is somewhere about and on the show. Back at it. What is the word there, Bread?
Gobble, gobble, wobble, wobble. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's the new word for the weekend, baby. Gobble, gobble, wobble, wobble. Because after you gobble, you start to wobble.
That's it. No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. I tell you, it was great, man, being in the house, seeing you and your family.
Yes, sir.
Out, you know, we had a chance to celebrate, and it was, like I said, it was great.
Like old times, man. Like old times, man. Never changes. It just gets better, you know?
That's right. That is the case. Definitely a great time, and I tell you, I think this is the best time of year right now. You know, even though the weather gets sometimes a little nasty, mm-hmm. It's just a great time to be out there and enjoy all those people that you like to be with.
That's it.
So, but yeah, man. So, like I said, it was great. Black Friday was yesterday, and I had a chance just to kick back and vegetate.
That's it, man. I vegetated too. Did you hear it? Oh man, I felt myself growing. You know what I'm saying? I herminated yesterday all day. Didn't go out.
It's crazy, Black Friday. Man. Can't deal with those lines.
Nah, man.
I'm not one to deal with all of that. I mean, I'm gonna venture out today. And
okay.
Hopefully, it won't be as crazy.
Yep.
But it's. You know, some great sales, I'll tell you that. I was out, I think it was Monday or Tuesday. I think Black Friday already started. The sales are crazy.
Yeah, they start early, man.
They start real early nowadays. You know, so enjoy. Go out there, get yours. Because the bargains are here. It's one of the best times if you're looking for yourself, for family, which is right around the corner here as far as Christmas. So it's a great time to kind of stock up, or if you're one that don't want to leave the house, you can do that too, and they'll drop everything right at your doorstep these days. Cyber Monday is a couple days away.
I don't trust them guys, them FedEx guys. They be throwing stuff though, you know what I'm saying? Make sure it's not fragile.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I don't think people really get it with cameras and everything else everywhere these days. Wherever you go, there's somebody's videotaping something.
That's it.
So,
you got to, man. People getting away with stuff, man.
It's crazy. But you have to realize even the FedEx man forgot that there's a camera that people have at the doorstep.
Beating up garbage cans, throwing expensive, fragile 60-inch TVs over the fence because they're not home. Come on, man. What's up with that?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. These guys are getting caught red-handed. It's like, whoa.
But the police can shoot people and still get away, you know, with murder. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Yeah, it was, the Ferguson, you know, we want to jump into that. Definitely, Ferguson, I didn't have a chance, Brett, to really honestly, and you could probably speak about it if you followed the case. I really didn't follow it as tightly as I would have liked.
Mm-hmm.
Did bits and pieces. Of course, I know the backdrop of the case, but I didn't really follow the specific details that is needed to make a specific opinion. But I guess I'll let you run with it and give you an overview of what you thought. And, obviously the grand jury didn't agree with a lot of people. I mean, there's been demonstrations all over the country.
Yeah,
how big this case is.
Yeah, well, that's what they predicted anyway. And it came to light, about the prosecuting attorney or whatever, and the governor. You know, they already predicted what was going to happen. And from what I read, the inconsistency of the stories, that's what made them decide not to charge him, But they're going to take his word and his inconsistencies, plus his witnesses that called into the radio shows and gave their accounts of it, I think they should have charged him just on that mere fact to see what they can really get the truth out of, Because they can bring in whoever they want and then throw out whatever they don't want to decide to listen to.
Yeah, just because you get indicted doesn't mean that you're guilty. It just means that they feel there's enough
evidence.
There's
probable cause.
Right. You're exactly right. It's definitely, I think that's what a lot of people are upset too, because they thought it would be an opportunity to really
get the truth out.
Right.
Get these witnesses and cross-examine them and all that stuff. And then decide, let a jury decide, or even a judge decide. I don't know, But it's crazy. I had a real connect. I had some friends just on the ground down there. My friend, Mary Moore, she's a TV producer for BET News and for Justice for Ferguson. And she's down there, doing her thing, and I keep in touch with her, and hopefully she'll call in and she can give her overview, because I have seen her in action, getting arrested herself, just doing her job, capturing what the police were doing to people and, and everything like that. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely a very, very sensitive case. I tell you, just a lot of demonstrations, like we said, across the country. And you know what? And the people don't want to put up with injustice anymore. And, it's really good to see that it's not just the Al Sharptons of the world that kind of make the statement now. We don't rely on one man.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that really say, you know what, this is not right, and they're speaking up. So that's always a positive thing. And don't get me wrong, I love Al and what he does, but we've come so far, we can't rely on one individual to kind of carry that weight on his shoulders.
Yeah.
You got to be able to have other people step up.
Yeah.
To say, you know what, this isn't right. Mm-hmm. We you know.
That's why people are doing what they're doing, because some people don't know how to do it the correct way. You know, they only go by what they know. You know.
Right.
Some people are level-headed. Some people are not. And you're gonna get all different walks of life trying to get that point across. But they're always gonna focus on the negative. You know, even when they do negative, we're focusing on what they're doing, and they focusing on what we're doing. You know, the people are doing at the same time, and that's where the conflict is. You know, and they have a little bit more power because they have the television programming, and they can show what they want to show, and decipher what the rest of the world is going to see. You know, just like the parade they had the other day, they were showing the parade, you know, the Thanksgiving Day parade, but they didn't show the protesting around the corner, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, that's not going to happen when,
you know,
Thanksgiving and,
yeah,
you know, they're not going to get into that. But it was, like I said, it was good to see that across the country, right in New York, I mean, they were just shutting things down.
They were shut down, you know what I'm saying?
Shutting things down, man.
Something
it was,
that
like,
needs to be changed,
whoa,
man. Yeah.
There's
a lot of special interest groups out there that's doing things and getting things done. And this is a special interest group, too, to try to change the law of police brutality and you know, taking people out for no reason.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a special interest group. Life is very precious, man. You only get one life, and it shouldn't be cut short because of some little altercation or something, you know, of that matter. And you turn into violent and death and people in mourning for no reason, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It's just so much. I mean, people kill people now like it's no big deal.
Like nothing.
Yeah, it's scary to think about, you know, how people view life these days. Like, you know what, we can kill this guy, it's no big deal. And I tell you, we really need to, and you know, the positive thing is, you know, it looks like, you know, we're starting to, you know, hopefully people speak up and say, you know, this is not right and it's not acceptable.
Yeah.
You know, so I tell you, man, it's a tough time, man, but you know, we got to hang in there and continue to do what we do, whether it's via this show or whether it's via different, you know, avenues out there of keeping the audience in tune to what's happening and just making sure we verbalize or we take social media or however we communicate and letting the world know when something's not right.
That's true.
You know, because if you allow injustices to continue and people figure out, you know what, we can keep doing it. So, you know, I'm very happy in that sense. Social media has been fantastic in that way. Mm-hmm. Allows you to have a voice and means
of
people.
A big voice.
That's right.
Very, very, very.
Allow you to express yourself, and you don't have to wait for somebody to give you a mic or on TV to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But we do have a call there, Brad. Why don't we take a phone call? We've had
all
several
right,
calls.
Good. Okay, that'll work.
Let's see if this is going to work today. Hello, you're on the LC and Jack Radio Show. Who do we have on the line?
Hi, this is Mary from Disclosure Newsmeen in St. Louis.
How are you, Mary? How's everything?
Pretty hectic.
Okay. Yeah,
Mary, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great. I'm glad you called in. I've been a Facebook friend of yours for a couple weeks now, and I'm really excited that you were able to come through and share some light on the Ferguson situation.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, and this is good timing because soon, you know, we've got like three protests that are scheduled so far. You know, we're getting them in as they're going on, so definitely no quiet in the city, which is good.
Yeah, that was my big concern, Mary, that a lot of times when we have injustices in wherever it's at, is that unfortunately a lot of times it's in the minority neighborhoods, and then after everything is said and done, we destroy what we have in our community, the stores, the support systems around us. And when we demonstrate, it just, you know, it all kind of collapses. And like I said, when things are all said and done, whether we're talking about out in California or wherever these things happen, there's no quick rebuild process. So can you give the audience, I guess, a whole backdrop on the situation you know, obviously I think things are kind of settling down a little bit of your overview of what's happening down in Ferguson.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many factors to this. Like St. Louis, you know, this has been like a Band-Aid from the begin. You know, the killing of Michael Brown, that was just like the straw that broke the camel's back, I guess you could say. And as far as the community, when it comes to protesters, you know, you've got your main core of protesters, which is against all the looting and things like that. And then you have the people that a lot of them come from out of town that are passionate also. So you take both of those, and then you have the looting and all those things. And, you know, you have the percentage of people that are your everyday thugs that do stuff because it's an opportunity, you know, it's a chance for them to do it. So, but that night, even though we knew that there weren't going to be justice that was going to be served, you know, it was like reality hit, and everybody was pissed. So realistically, I can't say who did what, but I know the city as a whole, you know, there was this tension in the air, there was anger in the air, you know, there was disbelief, even though we knew that there wasn't going to be any justice that was served that day, you know?
True.
Yeah, so with that being said, you know, a lot of the news stations that were here, you know, they're tired of covering the story. You know, I was told that it wasn't going to be much news, you know, any longer. But the thing is, they're not doing this for the news. You know, they're doing this for an outcome to where a cop will get actually charged. You know, there's enough probable cause here for Officer Darren Wilson. You know, we've had people that were protesters that were literally rolling, taking apples and rolling them in the streets. You know, the officers of Ferguson, they stopped handing out tickets over there. They found any reason to arrest you. And you know, they have video cameras and things like that to where if they feel like you're a threat, they're going to come back. They're going to pluck you out the crowd. So you've had clergy members. You've had, you know, Dr. Cornell West come get arrested. You've had protesters get arrested. I mean, it doesn't matter. Young, old, black, white, they've been arrested. But the one person that hasn't had any paperwork on him is Officer Darren Wilson. When
wow.
There's a, that we know that, yes, somebody died, and there's evidence of both sides. So that right there is enough to know that he could have charges brought on him, but there's none. At the risk of a whole city and whole nation now being, you know, screwed up.
Yeah. Well said. I mean, that right there is just what it is. And it's like, you just feel helpless, you know, because we can do all that we can. We can do the peaceful marching. We can do the looting, what have you. If you can't get nothing done, your hands are just like tied to what else do we do? We exhausted all our resources. And I know you've been through the grind and everybody else is in your support system. We're doing it just from our way of just talking about it, keeping it active, you know, so we just feel helpless.
Well, yeah, because the people that are in power to do something about it, they're not in power. I mean, they're not empowering us, you know. This could have been prevented. You know, I've never had a case that I've seen personally where a prosecutor refused to prosecute and
exactly.
They help the defense more than they do the people, you know. Yeah. Unheard of, you know. So that's an issue right there. And then the governor, you know, for him to come and waste all this money You know, this is money that if we had it like that, we could be feeding people and doing other things, putting in education. You put your whole city at risk. And like I said, now it's domino, you know. Now you've got people that are getting their property destroyed, you know, and so on and so on and so on, all because you refuse to do your job, you know. I just don't understand it. And so hopefully, you know, that people are going to step up and do something to impeach this governor. I mean, I voted for this guy in the past. If I had known what I know now, I never would have cast a vote for this man.
Wow.
Never.
Unbelievable.
You know, there's no trust there, you know, and there's no efforts, and they're pompous about it. They're sticking out their chest and saying, okay, well, this is how it is. You swallow this pill. Well, they don't want to swallow the pill. It's not right, you know. And we've had two other murders here in this city at the hands of police officers, you know, so it's not going to go away. And we've had people that were, you know, witnesses come up dead. We've, you know, there's just so many things that are going on, you know, as to where there's no trust.
That's something else. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah. So the only thing that the protesters know to do is make people uncomfortable, and that's what they mean by no justice, no peace. You know, there's not going to be peace in the shopping malls. You know, they don't have the power to do things legally, so this is how they know how to make their voice, you know, be felt.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
Go out. You shouldn't be comfortable. Anytime you get comfortable with kids getting killed, you know, there's something wrong, you know, so no comfortable. If it's uncomfortable for you to go shopping, so be it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mary, what is the feeling about a federal investigation or a federal indictment? What is the thought around that?
Well, a lot of people feel that if they're doing their job the right way and uncovering things, then Ferguson is going to be in trouble, you know, because this has been a long history of, you know, discrepancies and things like that. So, you know, if they're really doing a legitimate job and catching them before they destroy evidence or change things like that, then, you know, a good outcome. But if the results are going to end up just like what happened the other night, then there is no faith, you know. So I know right now what I'm hearing is that they're trying to get together enough signatures or however the process is and get another prosecutor. You know, since it's not a double jeopardy thing as far as murder, since there are no charges, they're trying to get McCullough removed.
Yeah.
You know, which I feel like that's a must, you know, a definite must.
Yeah, they just got to keep pushing. I mean, I feel the same way. Got to keep pushing.
Yeah.
Can't give up on anything. You know, even the bad stuff that's behind you or standing next to you, you just got to just move on from that and keep pushing, because what's in front of you is the worst.
Yeah.
What's in front of it is the worst thing I ever seen in my life.
Yeah, because you're going to have retaliation on police officers. You're going to have these police officers think that it's okay to do what they're doing. They're not going to learn a lesson. As of right now, they haven't learned a lesson, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The lesson to them probably is that we should cover it up better. You know what I mean? Take it to the alley and then bust ahead or whatever it's going to go. I mean, we've had protesters who I know personally that are credible come on TV and give interviews to how they were pulled over and a gun took their head, you know, saying that they've been watched, you know, by the police. I mean, things like that. You know, they're not learning a lesson. They're getting more aggressive, you know, honestly. Yeah, I was arrested. I mean, let's talk about that. I was arrested for holding a camera while shooting footage. And it's funny because I gave them hell because I don't even get parking tickets. You know, it's funny. And I was fully arrested because I was shooting. I was the only media at that moment that was down there. At the scene. You know, I got there and been there for 6 minutes, arresting it under 1.46. Had CNN had on credentials for my magazine. And I had an officer tell me, it's a bunch of officers. One of them told me, he goes, yeah, aren't you the one that had that footage, you know, of the thief? I mean, things like that. They're petty. You know, these are people in grown people's positions, but they act like little kids. You know, they're petty. So, I mean, they don't want you focusing on them, but the things that they do make you focus on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you don't even get that in war zones over in Iraq, and they let the media shoot
while
everybody else is shooting each other, like a referee in a football game. You know,
yeah.
You don't touch the ref. When you're fighting,
right.
or you're in a ring, If you're in the ring kickboxing, the ref is untouched, and you're the referee of what's going on. So that shows you how calculated everything is. And the most calculated thing I've seen.
Yeah, it made the media focus even more. I mean, I'm not the only one. You know, I wasn't the first. Surely I won't be the last, you know.
Yeah.
You had people from the Washington Post. I mean, you had several credible, you know, people that you know aren't a hazard. You know, we're doing our job, which is simply pointing the camera, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're there for. You know?
So.
Crazy.
What it is.
Yeah, I understand. We definitely understand. We're watching every day. Every aspect of it, you know. I've been getting news feeds for years because I have a friend that lives in St. Louis, and I always like had the news feed from St. Louis,
right?
On my Yahoo. So when I had met you, I was like, oh, I already got a friend there, you know. So
The only reason I wasn't out yesterday is because you know the elements finally got to me. I mean, because we're out here in the rain, the snow, you know, back. Forth, you know, county, city. I mean, not only are we focusing on, you know, Michael Brown's case, but we're focusing on Von Derrick Meyer's case, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is their city, you know, which is different than the county. Their city made a smart decision, which is to have an outside, you know, board take over the case and not this prosecutor as we do. So that they're trying to get it going in the right direction, you know, but yes, there's still some discrepancies when it comes to the police story and the witnesses, you know, but at the end of the day, it's not dependent on this one man that's never won a case like this before and has bias, you know, because of what happened to his own dad.
You know, what really got lost in the fray is that radio interview. Somebody called in to the radio station a while back when everything was fresh, and she was the only witness on his side giving his account because he didn't give a police report. So he gave his report to her, and she called into the radio station. And the stuff that she said about what Michael Brown was saying to the cop during all that shooting is no way it can be. I'm saying bring her in for perjury. You know, because she went on the national news media.
Right. If the police lie, think about it like this. If the police will go on record and lie, then so will your friends.
That's what I'm saying.
Definitely.
But you can get Martha Stewart went to jail for perjury. If you perjure yourself, you know what I'm saying?
Right. And nobody believed that. You know, that was just another person coming out being foolish, you know, because that was not the account of what happened at all. And it was after the... And, you know, if you did something... You're going to come out, and if you know something, you're going to come out right away. You're not going to wait and concoct the story later on. Like, nobody's that foolish, you know. These teams aren't that foolish, these parents aren't that foolish, and the media's not that foolish, you know.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's that foolish. Come on.
Ben Wilson had 3 months to go ahead and get his stuff together. He had three months to get to prepare. You didn't see an emotion with Darren Wilson because he had already, you know, been taught,
been
you know, what
he's
to say.
He's been coached. And then they're going to come out the day of the announcement and then have an interview on ABC. Everything was calculated. Everything,
too soon.
Oh, now he wants to come out because he already knew. He knew ahead of time.
And it's too soon. That's what, I mean, if you see any future, any further violence and things like that, it's going to be a reflection of his Darren Wilson's attorney coming out and Darren Wilson coming out being so, you know, just unemotional, unapologetic, you know, and to say that you would do it again.
That right there is the reason why there's a target on his head. You know, you've got to be quiet. You know, George Zimmerman, it took a minute before he came out, even though he was still doing stupid stuff. You know, there wasn't that just, you know, flaunting it inside the camera. And the thing is, that doesn't mean that you're innocent. That just means that there wasn't enough, you know, to put charges on you. You're not innocent of it. You know, there's still a dead voice.
Yes. They just couldn't prove whatever. Oh, man.
You know, it never went to the court. And the thing is, the city would be better. Even, you know, nobody would like it, but even if, you know,
charges were filed and it was allowed to be in the court and he was found, Darren Wilson was found innocent, it would be an easier pill to swallow
than you saying, you know what, that life wasn't even worth the paper to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem and the severity of it.
Okay.
So where are we going from here? Where is there any Any idea if federal charges will be able to move forward at this point? I know it's early.
I mean, yeah, we're still waiting. Yeah, we're still waiting to hear that. You know, I mean, something's got to give because you can't keep, you know, having National Guard. I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, I live in a adjacent community, which is, you know, close but yet still far. And I have National Guard people. I have the National Guard in my shopping center where I go to the store. I mean, they're everywhere. We can't live in a war zone, you know. I mean, I've seen more tanks the last few days than I have when I lived on an Army post, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, so we can't keep living like this, so something's going to have to give, you know. Last time I checked, I didn't know that we had the money to keep funding things like this. And the issues, it's not with the National Guard being here. We know that they had an order to do. You know, the issue is with the police. The National Guard, they're not standing there looking at you, mugging you, and making facial expressions, you know, like, yeah, you're going to get it. I mean, just the whole demeanor is different of the National Guard versus the police, you know, and that's the problem. You know, if these police were to act like this National Guard acted, there wouldn't be these problems. You know, it's kind of like you have a bully, and that bully, you know, when you're in front of the principal, that bully's, you know, sticking out their tongue or their face saying, you know what, just wait, you know. And that's the whole, you know, the attitude. You know, you've got a few officers that hate that they're next to the ones that are not good. And I have seen some positive changes in the officers. You know, they've been going to, like, a sensitivity training before this, you know, when they thought everything was going to be okay, which we knew never was going to be okay, you know? So.
Yeah, I've been surprised around the country. We were talking a little bit before you came on of the diversity of the protest. I mean, it's not just been one race.
No, it's a mix. Beautiful mix, you know, it's a beautiful mix, and that's why we like it. You know, it's young, it's old, it's black, it's white, you know, it's foreign. I mean, it may have started out with Darren Wilson as a place out of racism, but it's not going to end like that, you know. It's opened the dialogue that St. Louis itself and maybe the country should have had ages ago, you know. It's allowing people to make changes. You know, there's people that didn't realize that they were contributing to racism or whatever. At the negative part of it, the people that are racist, it's elevated their stance, you know. So, you know, hopefully the good will outweigh the bad. You know, we're always going to have the bad, but right now we try to focus on the good because there's people who I know that are protesters. I never would have had one single word. You know, our lifestyles were completely different. Now, these people have united, and it's kind of like a community family. You know, I'm the press, but I still go to events where, you know, there might be a protest or cookout. You know, I try to show the goodness of what's going on and not just the ugly.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, hopefully, unfortunately, you know, we lost another young black youth. And just hopefully us as a nation, like you were saying, is able to take this unfortunate act that happened, his death, and able to kind of spin this in a way of reshaping just
America.
The whole country and the way things are done.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's got to get better. It can't get worse. You know, we can't keep having kids out in the street, you know, in the blazing sun dead when they have their hands up, you know. Look at all the people that have went out to shoot up schools and things like that. You've had people, or the kid that shot up the movie theater. You know, he came out alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a gun. They know he had a gun. They know he killed somebody, you know. That was proof. This kid didn't have a gun. They know he didn't have a gun, but yet he's dead and no charges. I mean, so it's got to be the same kind of treatment, you know, all the way around the board.
And there was a couple of incidents where they had two cases where a white guy was walking with a gun in the middle of a park, and they did not shoot him right away. I mean, they shot him, but they shot him one time, and he went down. Another case where a white man was wielding a knife or a hatchet, they shot him in the leg or whatever, you know?
It's different. It's different results, you know? It really is.
They have compassion when it's a white person, but when it's a black person, they don't even need no threat or not. It's just involuntary. They go shooting right away.
Yeah, and there's no tasers involved. There's no shooting in the legs. I mean, there's a lot. You know, the Army do this every day, and they don't kill. You know, they can take people in if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and these police, you know, these are policemen that are getting, you know, the community's paying their salary. They're paying them to kill them, you know?
That's right. Wow. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Well, we appreciate you reaching out to us and giving us really the, and you know, the on-site
right
information,
well,
which is,
I appreciate it too. And anytime, you know, you guys want it, I'll give it to you. And I know, you know, you're going to have listeners that are not going to agree with what's going on, but we live here, we're in it, and we see it, and we know the truth. We're not, you know, guessing about what's going on. So when, as we, you know, we're calling it like we see it. You know, unfortunately, we have to see it, but this is the truth of what's going on.
And that's why we're here, because the ones that's against it, they don't have a clue.
They don't know.
They don't want to.
Or don't care.
They don't care. They don't have compassion. I mean, if it was their child, no matter what, white or black, it's the same thing, you know. I mean, there's white kids getting killed, but not at the alarming rate of black youth.
Right, and
always
that's what up.
And we don't see black cops shooting white kids. I mean, if there's a percentage out there, I want to see it. You know?
Right.
Bring
right. And we don't see black cops killing black kids. You know, that's something we don't really see a lot of. So that's the gist of the story.
Because when you listen to those Rush and Hannah, they always bringing up black statistics against ourselves. You know? So,
well, that's
look
the,
at
those statistics.
You look at our statistics of you white people killing black. You know?
Yeah. You know, we don't talk about, you know, how many times that they go to a school and shoot up kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't do that. We're not that petty. Like, the reality is you have good people that are black. You have bad people that are black. You have good people that are white and bad people that are black. It's not a you're better than I'm situation. It's a situation is bad, and let's fix it. That's what the situation is.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I hope our prayers go out to the whole Ferguson and surrounding areas. And,
well, I will relay the message. I'm in close contact with everybody, and I will let them know, you know, that you gave me the outlet, you know, let your listeners know what's going on, and that you know you care. You know, it goes a long way, because that's the only thing that's keeping this family strong.
That's what it is. Definitely reach out to us. Keep us informed. We have a weekly show, as you know, from my partner. And let us know if there's something or you have some instrumental guests out there that, or people that want to jump on and give us some additional information on what's happening. Let us know what we can do to help.
Well, we can definitely do that. I mean, you know, I have an outlet of everybody that would love to have their, you know, their story told. It's going to help, you know. So I will be in touch. And, again, thank you guys very much, and you have a nice weekend.
You're very welcome.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye, guys.
Enjoy the holiday. Bye-bye. I tell you, Brad, what a great opportunity to get up close and personal down in Ferguson. Great job by the Brad man and you know, someone that's right on the scene giving us what is the situation in Ferguson. Obviously, a lot of times on TV, you only get what media is going to give you. You're not going to get the real perspective. And what's great about the internet is that we got the power to connect to people that will give us the real deal. So we thank Mary. What's the last name, Brad? Mary Moore?
Mary Moore, yes.
Mary Moore for giving us a call and letting us know. So, like I said before, our hopes, our prayers go out to all those individuals out down there that are really trying to bring the truth to light. And I think that's what anybody wants, is to get the truth of a tragic situation. And, you know, it's just not going to get any better because, you know, hopefully the feds will come in and the story will be told. I think if there was an indictment, there would be a little bit more confidence in the system that we look, you know, that we use. But when it breaks down, you know, the confidence factor in our justice system is not there. And unfortunately, you know, we want to, when that doesn't happen, we need to take to other measures to get the word out. So this is a great media to do that. And we encourage you, give us a call. You can reach us at area code 347-843-4738. Hit us up on email, lcandjack@gmail.com. Facebook, Twitter, you name it. Let us know what you're thinking, your thoughts, you agree, disagree. You from Ferguson, you have information that hasn't been disclosed. Let us know. We can get the word out. That's what's so great about the internet.
Yeah,
your voice
thing,
will
man.
Be heard.
It's a powerful thing.
Voice will be heard. So with that said, Brad, do you have anything before we take a brief pause for the course?
Well, I got a happy birthday shout out real quick to my man Jahlil Hutchinson down in ATL. You know him as in group Houdini. So I want to give him a real quick shout out. And we'll come back after this little break.
And we will do that. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Evelyn Champagne King. I'm here at the LC and Jack Radio Show.
Hi, this is Gloria Gaynor, and you're listening to the LC and Jack Radio Show.
Hey, yo, what up? This is Keith Murray. I'm chilling with my boy LC and Jack on the LC and Jack Radio Show. Death Squad LOD. Check out my new single, Laws of Polarity. Peace.
This is Jim Brown. I'm on the LC and Jack Show.
Yo, this is Fred, the Hammer, Williamson. Check out the LC and Jack Show. If you got nothing else to do during the day or at night, make your life a lot more exciting, check it out. LC and Jack Show. All right? All right.
All right? All right. We back at it. Love Fred, baby. We got to get Fred back on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got to get him over the waters. We got to get him over the waters. We do that little contest we talked about earlier. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Got to get Fred back on. Hey, you know, all our guests have been great. I tell you, he's up there though, baby, on great interviews. Just a really great guy. And if you're listening there, Fred, which I know you listen to time to time, we're going to be giving you a shout here in a minute and get you bring it back up and see what you got cooking for 2015. Because 2014 is just about out. 2014 is just about out here. Got another 4 weeks. And we'll be saying Happy New Year 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of started off there, Brett. I want to give a couple of birthday shout-outs. I want to give a happy birthday to the quarterback of the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks, Mr. Russell Wilson. Happy birthday to R&B superstar Trey Songz. I'm going to give a happy birthday to legendary DJ Kool, DJ Red Alert.
Okay.
Happy birthday to a past guest on the show, all-time linebacker for the New York Giants. He's also a Hall of Famer as well, on top of all that good stuff, Mr. Harry Carson. Happy birthday there. Also to Jocelyn, happy birthday to you. Many more to come. And to all those out there. And, got to give a birthday shout out to my man, Norm. You just celebrated a birthday here last couple days. Bringing it in.
Mm-hmm.
Give a birthday shout also, almost forgot, to my stepmom, Linda. Bringing it in as well. So, and to you, if you got a birthday, and, you know, happy birthday from the LC and Jack radio show. What do you got there, Brett?
You know, I'm backed up with a little bit, you know what I'm saying, because we've been off the air for a little while, but, you know, I got my peoples lined up, so I'm going to shout them out. Miss Sabrina R. Toll down in the ATL. Shanice Goodrich, want to give you a big shout out down in ATL also. Miss Anna Avalez out in New York. Marie Reyes out in Queens. My childhood friend, Mr. Michael Salerno up in Mayopac, New York. I'm going to wish him a speedy recovery. You know what I'm saying? Get well soon. Miss Maggie Leon out there in Uniondale, New York. Amanda Hicks, way out there on the West Coast. I'm going to give you a shout-out, girl. Miss Jocelyn Powell McFadder out there in Great Neck. I want to give you a big shout-out. Another childhood friend of mine, this is Chucky Mitchell up in Peekskill, New York. I want to give you a big shout-out. Down in Fort Lauderdale, my homeboy, my ace, John Cook. I want to give you a big shout-out on the LC and Jack show. Mr. Harry Moss, one of my old school friends, Ava Avalez, Ralphie Camacho out there in Houston, Texas, and John Gonzalez and his wife Belinda, and Miss Tanya Abrahams out in Long Island. I want to give all those people who are listening in today a big shout out on the LC and Jack show. Oh, and Mike Koch, he's checking in, one of my homeboys up in White Plains. Got to shout out to Koch, you know what I'm saying, because he's a Leo, and he's going to come to my big Hawaiian explosion is going down next summer in Hawaii. So y'all check it out. The website is not up, but you can check it out on Facebook and see what's going on with Cornbread's Hawaiian Explosion, man, 2015. That's going to be a big event, Les. Big event.
I know. The word is out.
Yeah.
Everybody's going kind of crazy for it. So I was like, whoa.
Yeah, man. We're going to make it happen, baby. We're going to make it happen. So everybody who missed the rooftop, they're like, yo, I ain't missing this one. I said, all right, let's get it in. You know, I had that YouTube video, that rooftop. They was like, yo, I didn't know it was going to be like that. Well, you haven't been hanging around long enough then. Yeah, that's it, baby. That's it.
Well, the bread man kind of catching up. We're back at it.
Yeah.
And we should, and I know we've been promising some guests. We've had some reshuffling on that, but they will happen. Hopefully, I believe, let's see, what date is this? Actually, I want to say possibly next week we have a guest. If not, I'm sure we'll have a topic that we'll be discussing. So feel free to give us a shout at any time, 347-843-4738. I know we had some calls on hold, and I guess the lines were jammed, and I guess people got tired of holding. So you can give us a call back, and we'll go right at it. So actually, we do have a call just buzzing in on line two,
yep.
Brett. So,
yeah, that's my man. That's my man, Mike Koch in the house.
On the LC and Jack radio show, who we have on the line?
This is Michael Salerno from Mayopac, New York.
What's up, Mike?
What's up, Brett, man?
Hey, man, I'm chilling, man. You know, get well soon, man. It's been a long time, man. We got to catch up. We ain't seen each other in like 50 years.
Oh, God, it feels like 100.
I know.
We haven't actually spoken in probably 30 years.
Wow.
Which, in a way, is tragic, but it's also amazing that after 30 years we can still be in touch.
Yes, sir, man. The power of the Internet, man. I'm so happy because over the years I thought about all the people I grew up with, and I was like, you know, every now and then I'll run into somebody in the mall if I go on White Plains or on the highway at a red light or something. But now the Internet, I ain't got to do nothing but sit at home and say, yo, Mike, what's good? How you doing?
Yep, that whole Ferris Avenue crew is still kicking around.
Yes, it, man. Shout out to Ferris Avenue. Yes, awesome.
Absolutely. Well, I very much appreciate the shout-out. It's kind of hard to keep upbeat, you know, when you're laying on your back recovering from surgery, but
okay.
It is an absolute pleasure to hear your voice again.
Oh, man, same here, my man, same here.
Yeah. 30 years, huh?
Yeah, man, it's been a while, man.
Oh, yeah, we met in elementary school, the two of us.
Yeah.
We were like peas in a pod back then.
Yeah, man, we was doing it.
That's good, man. It's always good to be in contact with, especially friends from elementary. Those are your really true friends.
Those are the formative years, probably some of your best and most important teachers who still don't get the recognition that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the friends that form the basis of your personality for the rest of your life.
So true. I can't paint the picture any clearer than what you just did. I'm fortunate to have about four or five friends from elementary, and we're still pretty tight. So it is a blessing to have those individuals still.
Absolutely. It shows that they really are the foundation of your life and the foundation of the person that you become as an adult.
No doubt about it. You're quickly recovering, Mike. In the hospital still, or you're actually home?
No, I'm back home. It's been a bit of a ride. You know, you get to the point, I always like to say you turn 50 and your warranty expires and everything just starts falling apart. But
yeah, as you get older, things do tend to break down. That is
man,
the truth.
You gotta oil them up. You gotta keep them greased, man.
That's right. Absolutely. Keep those parts lubed. Holy cow.
That's it.
Yeah,
well,
it's been a bit of a rough ride, but I'm very lucky to have good friends and good family to look after me.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, prayers go out to you.
As a matter of fact, one of the original White Plains crew who actually came up to my house the day before Thanksgiving and cooked up a storm. He stayed with us, fed
wow.
my whole family, did all the work. He's an absolutely amazing man, my best friend, Larry Rice.
Wow, awesome. Shout out to Larry
Rice.
Big
up to Larry. Yep,
yeah,
big up to Larry. And big up to you, Mike, and, you know, God's blessing for a speedy recovery. And make sure you tune in each and every week. The Bread Man's a big part of the show.
Absolutely.
He's been on for many years now, so we keep pushing the show to higher heights, and who knows what the future holds. But we're holding
right.
it down
keep,
doing pretty well.
And keep talking about these important topics like Ferguson and the horrible black mark on our history as a country that this represents.
Yeah.
And the clear evidence of just a deeply rooted systemic problem with the mm-hmm. way that our police force has our police forces nationwide have come to forget that the terms protect and serve refers to the people of the community, not to themselves.
Yes. Exactly.
And all the evidence that people say that we live in a post-racial America, well, if Ferguson and what has happened around Ferguson is not clear evidence to the contrary, that we do not live in a post-racial America, that the divide between people and color and the white community has become so much a part of our daily lives that the vast majority of people have forgotten that this racial distinction still exists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, if it has ever been thrown into such stark relief, it's Ferguson that has brought this back into the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mike, why do you think the police forget that it's protect and serve for the community? Why do you think that?
Well, you know what part of the deep problem is, and this has happened more and more in recent years, it's the massive militarization of our police forces. As the government sells off all its military surplus to police departments to give them bigger weapons and stronger vehicles, we have created this atmosphere in which even the police come to perceive that they need to be militarized, that we are somehow at war with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're at war with our own people. If you start dressing and arming police officers as if they are soldiers, of course they're going to start acting like they're soldiers.
Amen.
You know, I mean, honestly, I live in a smaller community. I'm in Mayapack, New York, and even our local sheriff's department has armored vehicles. Mm. These things are virtually tanks rolling down the streets of our city.
Mm.
Why on earth do we need tanks in a rural community like this? Who are we at war with?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a very good point, and I asked you about protect and serve and why, because you know I think they forget a lot of times. You know, you see these police officers, and even when you get pulled over for know, whatever it is, maybe blue with light, or it's just a very, you know, I shouldn't be afraid to speak to the police officer. I should just
Absolutely.
Be able to have a conversation like we're having right now. Obviously, I know he's in a position of power, so you don't have to enforce that upon me. I already know you have you have power. But your power is given to you for you to do the right thing and not to for people to be afraid. I think that's the thing. Either someone's afraid or they're very defensive because, this, like, this guy is going to go over the bounds, over his bounds.
Absolutely.
You shouldn't really have that feeling.
If every police officer proceeds on the assumption that every member of the public is guilty of something, then there's a fundamental imbalance in the justice system. The term protect and serve is supposed to be the guideline for law enforcement. Why do you pull someone over because they have a busted taillight? Why? Because it represents a danger to the operator of the vehicle and to others. If you've got a taillight out, let's say your turn signals don't work, right? But if you pull someone over on the excuse that they have a busted taillight only to look for something else, something fundamentally wrong with the way that we enforce the law.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I mean, it's very sad. It's very tragic. But this has, it seems, become the operating norm for all our police now. Maybe not all, but the majority of police departments. They assume that every member of the public is a criminal rather than someone that they agreed to protect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know
you're hitting it home. Sitting at home with that, Brad. I mean,
that.
You have that with New York City for all our listeners around the world. Just the way some of the tactics that were used, you know, so that's kind of starting to change. But yeah, you just hit it home with that. It's just it's like you're guilty in some parts of the world today. You have to you have to prove your innocence. You're supposed to be innocent before proving guilty. It doesn't have that way right now with the police.
That's the military state of mind, because in the military you are guilty. You have to prove yourself innocent. In the civilian world, it's just the opposite. But we are civilians living in the military state of mind right now. That's what it is. Like you said earlier, you know, because I was in the military, and you are always guilty of something until you prove yourself innocent. But in the civilian world, you're innocent first, and you have to prove yourself. You know, they have to prove you guilty like that. So
that's
when they change it around, it's a big problem. It's a very big
Absolutely.
Problem.
Absolutely. And, you know, I heard you guys talking earlier about Bill Cosby, and the way that Bill Cosby is being villainized in the media is in a way a reflection of this.
Yeah.
Now, I was a huge fan, and Brett, you'll even remember, I used to do Cosby impressions when I was a child.
Yes.
Huge fan my whole life, and I had great respect for this guy. Now, if he is guilty of these things that people are accusing him of, then, of course, he needs to be prosecuted, and justice needs to be done. But if there's no evidence for a case, there is no prosecution to be made. But the assumption is if someone says this happened, then he must be guilty. Well, where's the evidence?
Yeah.
If there's enough evidence to take him to trial, then you take him to trial. But this business of treating him like he's a monster because someone accused him of something without any actual evidence, that's another reflection. Everybody is just automatically guilty. If there's evidence, present the evidence. Take the man to court. Take the man to trial. Prosecute and punish appropriately. But people have just decided this accusation has been made, and yes, by several people, but it would not be the first time that you have seen celebrities being targeted just because they make such great targets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, even for a moment, that if this man is guilty that he should be let go because of his age, let go because of his celebrity status.
Mm-hmm.
But the assumption is, hey, he must be guilty. Somebody accused him of something, he must be guilty. And that is what everybody latches onto. And that's another clear reflection of the wrong directions that we have taken our justice system.
Now, do you think if Bill Cosby was of a different nationality, would he still get this? Or you just think this is just the way the media is these days?
I don't think that this is an issue of color. I really don't.
Okay.
I think it is much more an issue of celebrity. I mean, here is someone who was known for being a genuinely nice guy, never vulgar, never rough, never harsh. He lived his life to make people laugh. That's what he lived for. And he had a reputation of being a genuinely nice guy. And that's another part of what makes this accusation so horrific to so many people. I think this is, more than anything, it is an issue of celebrity, more than anything else.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. We mentioned Bill, early and also, last week, just because, I mean, I think a lot of people jumped on him because there was a settlement, and nobody knows, obviously, what happened, but there was a settlement that he had with someone else. And that doesn't mean that the woman that came out recently, for whatever case, that's all tied. But I think people made the assumption that, yeah, you know what, he did something, he covered it up with money, and the other women now coming out are, you know, it happened to them too. So whatever he did, and they can't get information to because it was that sealed.
Yeah, well, this is one of those double-edged swords that happens, especially to celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
You get accused of something, and whether it's true or not, you may choose to settle the case simply to make it go away so as not to smear your good name.
Yep.
But that is a serious double-edged sword. It makes one problem go away, but the moment the word of this comes out, people are naturally going to assume you were guilty and you paid hush money. Now, we don't know. There's a very small number of people who actually know what the truth was behind that. And the truth, unfortunately, at this point, is almost irrelevant, because the moment the word comes out that this happened, more people are going to assume that he was guilty and he paid to shut somebody up.
That's right.
The moment that word gets out, there could be people who think, oh, this is my chance to make some money off Mr. Cosby as well. Right? And, hey, he paid somebody else. Maybe this is my chance.
Right.
Or these people may have genuinely been victims of a crime, but we don't know.
Right.
And without real, proper legal proceedings, with proof and legal action, there again will only be a select few people who will know. But until justice is allowed to be served properly in the court system, presentations of evidence, no one is going to know the truth. And unfortunately,
sorry to cut you off. I thought this came up, and we found out, unfortunately, after he passed away, but Michael Jackson was a perfect example where actually he never did anything to one of the young boys that he was accused of, but he decided to pay to make it go away, and then later on, he's obviously an adult now, but that young boy was coerced, he said, by his family.
Right.
And that Michael never did anything to him. To the contrary, he was an ultimate gentleman.
Right.
And never did anything to him. And
people
unfortunately,
driven by
Michael
money.
Settled out. Right, right.
Driven
settled
by
out.
Money.
Yeah.
Michael
said,
I'm not a religious person by nature, but sometimes you can quote the Bible, and it's the most accurate thing that you can do. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And that's all that drove those people, the love of money.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, yeah, you make the points right on. And, boy, I tell you, Brad, we could get him on as a guest every so often. He's covered the gamut on a lot of different things that kind of happening out there in the world today. We definitely, enjoyed you giving us a call, and glad you and the Bread Man have linked back up, and hopefully you guys stay in contact, and make sure you tune in each and every week, and give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind, and spread the word on the LC Jack Radio Show.
Having a third career in radio, courtesy of you guys.
Never know what might happen. That's it.
That's
it. But speedy recovery there, Mike, and we look forward to you up and around, and tuning in and checking us out.
Thank you, gentlemen. You both take care.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Bye bye.
tell you there, Brad. I tell you, man, we may have another future co-host in the making.
Yeah.
Mike was not Mike shy at all.
Mm-mm, not at all. He's a good dude, man. Ever since a young kid, he's always been that dude, man, that I used to hang around. I always hang around smart people.
No doubt about it. He's loved his take on things. Not that, you know, because I agree or disagree with it, but, you know, we like to get that feedback from you, our listeners. Hit us up and let you know your thoughts. It's not wrong or right. It's your opinion. That's what's so great about this world. It's a free country. You can express whatever you'd like to, as long as it's peaceful. And now you just have the mediums out there through social media, radio, whatever, to get that out. So it is a really, really great time as far as that's concerned. And unfortunately, as Mike mentioned, and we did, and how we had most of the show we've been talking about is Ferguson. So, you know, it's a tragic situation. Hopefully, lessons will be learned, and we'll make the necessary adjustments to make sure that this child, or young youth, black youth, life doesn't go in vain. You know, just hopefully lessons will be learned and we can move forward, and no one else in this country has to lose their life over an injustice such as this. So, but yeah, Brett, there was been a couple other things here before we wrap the show going down for our listeners. I don't know if they're aware, but Marion Barry, a former mayor of Washington, D.C., recently passed away. He was 78 years old, and of course a lot of people are going to remember him for a lot of the negative things that Marion Barry, you know, was a part of, but really did some great things, you know, with the youth down in D.C. And overall, I think Marion Barry was a good man. Unfortunately, he had a problem, and I think that problem, he just couldn't really overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
And that problem was drugs.
Yeah.
But I thought he was a good-natured man. But, you know, when you hear about Marion Barry, most things you're going to hear about are negative because just the things that was around him, and those things made headlines. Sells newspapers, and all the good stuff that he did will be swept underneath, and you won't hear about it. But a lot of youth praised Marion Barry recently on social media because he had a big heart for the youth and getting them jobs. So a lot of young individuals came out and thanked him for giving them an opportunity to work. And so if anything, Marion Barry. And he had an opportunity to do it, I think, what was it three times was he in?
Mm-hmm.
Was it once, twice? I believe he was in office three times. So that just tells you, the man was a good man. He was just plagued with a drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
No different than a lot of people today. Doesn't mean they're a bad person because you got a drug problem.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's a sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have alcohol sickness.
Yeah.
I call smoking a sickness.
Yeah, they have sex addictions and all that, you know.
Right.
So that guy from the Kansas City Royals and Wade Boggs, they had sex addiction. That was the first time I heard that. I was like, really? I don't want
to
get through
the
man.
Sex. Yeah. Right. So there's a lot of sickness out there, and I think, like I said, over, you know, Marion Barry. You know, he overall, I just thought he was a good man, but he was just plagued by his addiction. You said it right there, Brett, which is drugs. He just, that overcame him, But, you know, rest in peace to Marion Barry. He's not forgotten, even though he is gone. He's not forgotten. Also, Brett, big news this week was Ray Rice. He has won his appeal. For those that don't know, obviously Ray Rice, they had given him a 2-game suspension, and it made it big news, obviously, because when you were able to see the inside the elevator, everybody was appalled to everything going down. You couldn't see what was going on. You could only, you know, have an image in your mind what you thought was happening inside the elevator. But once TMZ got that video,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know, obviously somebody was trying to hush. I don't know if it was the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, you know, it's kind of hard to believe the NFL couldn't get access to that film, that video.
That's why they let that case go, you know. They got it overturned. Let them overturn it, and we'll shut up because they know they was at fault. There was too many people who seen that document for the commissioner not to see it.
Yeah, it's hard for me to believe that, you know, the commissioner didn't know. But, of course, they covered his tracks.
Oh, yeah, he covered it real good. You know, you ever watch Scandal? Olivia was on the job. Olivia, clean this mess up. Cyrus, clean this mess up. Same
clean
thing.
It up, baby. And that's what
you
they
know,
did.
Even though it's Hollywood, but that's real life, real talk, you know. That's how it is, man.
That's how it is, exactly. So he was protected. They didn't allow him to go down, but, I mean, I believe that he knew. And, you know, Ray, I'm not saying what Ray did was right. It's definitely not right. He shouldn't touch anybody. If you don't want to get hit, you shouldn't be touching anybody. You know, that's the way I was raised, especially a woman. But, you know, that was just an ugly situation. And, you know, what Ray made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that everyone deserves a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
So Ray is getting given that chance now. He went to court and appealed the really double jeopardy type of situation. NFL wanted to ban him, basically. And he's like, yo, he was already punished for
mm-hmm.
2 games. Now, we're not, you know, no one agrees necessarily with the 2 games, but you already had given him punishment.
Yeah.
So now he is free to play football with any NFL team. Now, of course, who knows if anybody this year is going to give him a chance. I don't think anybody's going to give him a chance this year. Maybe next year. Who knows? But
does he still get paid? That's the thing. Does he still get paid since he got cut? You know, in football, when you get released, you're done.
No, he doesn't get paid. He and football, most of the money that you get is your advance money. So
yeah, the guaranteed
money, right? That guaranteed part of it. That's the only money that you get, and then as you play your games, you earn that contract money. So that's
mm-hmm.
how football works. Not like baseball where your money is guaranteed regardless.
Yeah, like Alex Rodriguez.
Right, exactly.
He's sitting on that pile, you know. He's sitting on that pile.
Right, money's guaranteed. So baseball's totally different than football and basketball, too. Guaranteed money, basically. So, but, you know, big up to Ray for kind of trying to, you know, the statement it released. I wish I had it in front of me, but basically apologizing to his wife, which when he had his first press conference, I was like, yo, you totally forgot about your wife.
Mm-hmm.
His now wife. He should have apologized to her the first words out of his mouth.
Because mm-hmm.
she's got to deal with everyone saying, oh, you know, she's the one that got beat. You know, she got beat up. She's going to have to deal with that. It's forever marked, as well as him. You know, he's
mm-hmm.
going to be the first. You know, he's the reason why they have the rule now.
Yeah.
They're going to say it's the Ray Rice rule.
That's
just gonna happen. So anything going on at home that's not you know that's not right. It's the Ray. He got hit with the Ray Rice world. So unfortunately, as an athlete, you take the good with the bad. You can make big money, you get endorsements. But when you make a mistake, like Ray made, you got to take the good with the bad. And I think Ray's realizing that. He apologized to his wife for everything that he put her through. And, you know, our prayers go out to Ray. And he's welcome to come on the show anytime he wants. If you'd like to, or just anyone that wants to call in, our lines are open. As a matter of fact, our lines are 347-843-4738. Give us a shout. We still have some time on the clock, as they say. But, yeah, Brett, Ray is free to play football again. And we'll see what happens. The other thing going down, Brett, as you know, here in NYC, is two legendary, a legendary group and a legendary hip-hop artist are going to be performing here in a couple weeks. And I tell you, I'd love to see if we could track one or both. Run DMC, baby, and LL Cool J is doing a concert here in New York. And as far as I know, that's the only concert. And I think it's just about sold out. It's going to be at the Barclays in Brooklyn. So it is a lot of stirring around. Run DMC is back at it. And LL Cool J is back at it as well. From a music standpoint, we see him every week on TV. But he's going to be on the mic performing his legendary songs, as well as Run DMC.
Okay.
So it's really great to see them back at it, doing it, because it's not often that you have at least them doing it. You know, I haven't heard of LL doing a show in a while.
Long time.
Or Run DMC. I know that they were
TV
for
money.
A while.
TV money's good.
Yeah, so this is, it's big. And if you have a chance to experience it, I encourage you to check them out. I forget the date. I want to say it's December 19th. I want to say that's the date. But I'm sure check it out. You'll be able to see when that date is. I'm actually, as we speak there, Brad, trying to pull it up quickly to give our listeners the date. And while I'm doing that, Brad, why don't you let the listeners know what's the deal with the Hawaii trip?
Okay. I got the Cornbread's Hawaiian Explosion at the Gingerbread House, August 13, 2015 to August 18th. It's an all-inclusive affair. We're going to have airfare and hotel. Most of our guests will get their money in early. It's going to be at the Kahala Hotel and Resort. That's where you can swim with the dolphins in the lagoon outside in the pool. We're going to have a comedy show that Thursday. The meet and greet is going to be that Thursday when you get there. And we're going to have a comedy show. Saturday, we're going to have a VIP into the M Club, one of the hottest clubs in Hawaii. And on Sunday, we're going to have a luau. And that Monday, we're going to come back to the Gingerbread House, and I'm going to have some exotic cars and birds in front of the house, so you can sit in and take your pictures and take it back home or post it on Instagram or Facebook and all that. So that's all-inclusive with the Hawaiian Explosion. That's the explosion part. Everything you do with me is the explosion. Like during the day, you can do anything you want. You know, go to the tours. They have tours at the hotels that you can book. But at the nightlife, it's going to be with the bread man. That's the explosion. So check me out. The website is still being built. It's cornbreadhawaiianexplosion.com. But you can check me out if you're my Facebook friend. I'm sending individual links to my Facebook page, to the site. and everything is there. You can check it out. If you got an email, hit me up. You hit me up at cornbread@tomf5.com. If you want to get a personal email of all the inclusive things that's involved. So we're looking forward to seeing everybody. It's going down. I'm looking for at least 200 people, 250, three at the max. You know, I could top it off at 300, but hey, we can do it, man. I did 50 before and 100 the year after. So here it is, 2015. Let's try to get 300 people loaded up on that plane. Let's hit Hawaii, baby. That's August 13th to the 18th, 2015. It's called Cornbread's Hawaiian Explosion at a Gingerbread House, hosted by me, the Big Kahuna. That's it, baby.
Big Kahuna. I love it.
Yeah, that's the Kahuna, baby.
What a Brett man doing his thing out in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you check him out, support him as he does his events. And make sure you also check out us, LC and Jack Radio Show, my man Brett, each and every week as we roll into 15. We're going to roll in some interviews. I do promise that. I know we got a little sidetracked here. A little change of dates on some of these interviews. So, but it's all good. We had a great, great show today. An opportunity to get up close and personal information in regards to Ferguson and what's happening there. So we appreciate you. And I guess, Brett, before we roll, we do have a caller. So take a call. You're live and on the LC and Jack radio show. Who do we have on the line? Hello? You're on the LC and Jack radio show. Speak up. Hello?
They shy?
They definitely are shy. Don't listen
to
your computer. Don't listen to your computer. I don't know where they are. This is a 269 area code. So I have no idea where they're calling from.
269?
Yes, are you there? Hello?
Oh, they bashful. It's the first time calling, you know.
Okay. Well, when you do call in, it is live.
That's Michigan. So, that's Michigan. Somebody from Michigan calling in.
Somebody from Michigan.
If you're from Michigan, call in. Say hello. You're on the LC and Jack radio show. Don't be shy. We ain't going to hurt you.
We definitely won't.
I want to hear what you're talking about. That's a new caller. I don't know who that is.
Well, yeah, we get them bred from all over.
Yeah.
That's why this was so great about the internet, is that it's worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Not even just here in the States. You get them from England.
Yeah.
You get them from all over the place, baby. That's why I love about what we do. We touch people all over the world. Can't forget that. It's not just a local thing. You know, we have people all over that tune in. And when we're not live, tune in, because that's what's good. All our shows are up on Blog Talk Radio. And I thank Blog Talk for giving us this avenue of being able to be anywhere and do a show. And when the bread man's out and about, wherever he is, he's able to connect. And when I'm once in a while, I'm about, like when I was up in Buffalo. Big up to all those people, my cousins and family up in Buffalo. Got a hammered, bread, with all that snow. So they're starting to come back and recuperate there from all the snow that they got a couple weeks ago. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
crazy amount of snow, even for Buffalo. And they used to handling all that snow. They had to pull that game out, and I'm sure the Jets wish that they played in Buffalo. Maybe they would have had a better outcome.
I don't think so.
They got hammered up in Detroit. So big up the Buffalo Bills. Big up everyone up in the Buffalo area for hanging in there and staying positive, because something like that can be very frustrating. Not able to get out, and I tell you, they had so much snow there. It was unbelievable. And this was over like 2-3 days. It just got hammered.
Mm-hmm.
So big up to everybody up in Buffalo, all our listeners up there. And, you know, keep the faith, stay strong. I know it's early in the season, too, to be getting that much snow. So it definitely was historic in that sense. So hit us up again. We'll be on another few minutes here, 347-843-4738. Up Close and Personal Urban Talk Radio. Hit us up. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or drop us an email, lcandjack@gmail.com. You got any shout-outs there, Brad, before we wrap the show?
Okay, I want to give a shout-out to the few guests who are on board already for the Cornbread's Explosion, Miss Adria Wood. My man Sonny Warren, my cousin Latoya Brown Sugar, Mike Gott, who called in earlier, Talisha Garrison, Tanya Terrell, and one of my homeboys' wives. They're going to fly back to Hawaii, because they're in San Diego, so they were stationed over there. Miss Melanie Sawyer Kitchen and her husband DeMont. Those are the ones that are on board so far. Still early in the game, you got plenty of time. Just check out the Hawaiian page on my Facebook, or send me a personal email at cornbread@comf5.com, and I'll send you the itinerary and the prices and everything that's included in there. All exclusive trip that's coming up August 13, 2015 through August 18, 2015. We're going to be at the Gingerbread House for the meet and greet, and then from there, the explosion begins.
Gingerbread House. Wow.
That's
why
I picked it, because it got bread in there. You know what I mean? it's a historic house. It's been in movies and all. I could have got another house, but I was like, you know what? It got the gingerbread. That's a nice ring. I like that. And it looks like a gingerbread house. You look at it. Got a nice swimming pool in the back. Got a barbecue area. Got lounge chairs. Palm trees, man. Tell you, man. Every day I'm going to post some new stuff on there, what's going down. You know, everything that's involved in the itinerary that supported the explosion, I'm going to post up on the events page so everybody can get excited and get ready. Bring your bathing suit, bring your suntan oils, your flip flops, what have you. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a stone cold gas, like the late Don Cornelius used to say. I'm taking over, baby.
That's what's good. That is what's good. And talking about that, the Soul Train Awards are actually tomorrow there, Brad. So
you're
not doing anything. Make sure you tune
good segue,
in.
Good segue. Yeah,
great segue. Yeah, the BET Awards with our girl Wendy Williams.
Yes.
We love Wendy. You know, Wendy is hosting.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that's a first for her. She's doing a lot of things now. Oh, and before we go there, Brett, I would probably forget about it. We got a couple more minutes here. But don't know if you had a chance to check out the Aaliyah movie.
No.
Did you get a chance to check that out here? It was about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was on, and I tell you, social media, it could be good for you, or it could be pretty bad.
Mm.
And they were just killing the movie. I was online, and it was ugly. So, yeah, it was ugly. I thought that, this version was not supported by the family. They didn't agree on it, and I watched it, and I thought they focused too much on her and R. Kelly.
Oh, okay. That
right
happened.
Off the bat, they didn't really give any backdrop. I wanted to see, if I'm going to see that type of movie, let me find out kind of how she got started. They really glanced over that quickly and didn't get into, you know, her as a child and all that stuff. They did very briefly, but I just thought that to make it a really nice movie, they could have focused in on a positive.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of gone into one into with her and R. Kelly and you know how they their portrayal of Aaliyah and and him, how they got involved and how they got married and so I thought that was really the wrong way to kind of tackle a movie like that, because a lot of people have only positive things about Aaliyah. So you're going to come at it, because obviously during that time, the internet was, there was no way of you getting the information like now.
Yeah.
Now everything's different. Everything is instantaneous. There's no secrets. And back then,
it was taboo. It was taboo back then. Yeah.
Right, right. So you really didn't know, you know, speculation. You know, they got married. They were seeing each other, whatever the case is. And I just thought that they could have just did a better, just portrayed the whole story a lot better. It just was not, it was not done as good as it could have been. And it just, it's unfortunate that, she was so young. And the one thing that you did take away from it was that she was so talented. And the girl that played her, I thought, played pretty well, because they could not use any of Aaliyah's real vocals. Everything was done by, and I wish, in the next show I will have her name. I totally forgot what her, the girl that portrayed Aaliyah. I thought she did a phenomenal job, especially on the vocal part. And I thought she did a very, very good job at doing it. And, you know, unfortunately, that movie just wasn't well done. But like I said, I thought it was, it made me think about Leah's music. And, you know, I don't hear it as much as you would like to hear it, but it made me actually go on my podcast now for music and pull up her music. You know, here and there you hear her music. But actually watching that movie, I was like, wow. When she did this, One in a Million, when she did, you know, the joints with R. Kelly, I mean, it was blazing. Really talented. And she was, I believe, only 23 before she passed away. Tragic airplane accident. But like I said, it was, I wanted to tune in and check it out. There was a lot of hype behind this movie. That, you know, how good it was going to be. And unfortunately, I don't think it was that well produced. And social media was right on point with that, too. They definitely didn't like the movie, and her family didn't sign off on it. So maybe we'll get another version that her family signs off on and wants to put out. So I don't know what's happening with that. But like I said, the movie itself was just not really done well. But I did think Aaliyah's, the person that portrayed Aaliyah, did a phenomenal job as far as the music piece. And I think that, I was very surprised, because the family would not grant Aaliyah's vocals to be used in the movie.
Okay.
So, maybe our audience next week can, give us a shout and let us know what they thought. But my, so her name is Tiana Taylor.
Okay.
Young lady who portrayed Aaliyah in the movie. So, wait a minute. I'll take that back. I think Tiana Taylor was the first one that was casted. And as they started the movie, she decided not to portray it. not to, because she didn't believe in the way it was done.
Yeah.
So the actress who actually portrayed her, I want to say, is not sure. I'm still trying to gather that information as we speak, Brad, but I will have it next week. My apologies, but it just hit me of the movie, and I almost forgot about it. But like I said, it was, the movie wasn't well done, and you know, and it focused to me in my opinion just too much on the negative about Aaliyah and what she didn't really know. You know, I don't know if she really married R. Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went into that whole thing, and so, like I said, it just could have been done a little bit better. You could have touched on that, but it could have just been done a little bit big, you know, in a different way. It's all how things are done and portrayed. But, again, Brad, it's been a great show. Let's thank again, I believe it was Jane Moore.
Mary Moore.
My apologies, Mary.
Yeah,
Mary big
Jane.
Up to you.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, for calling in and giving us that information live and direct from Ferguson down there in St. Louis. So please keep us in the loop. Let us know what's going on there. Whatever we can do, again, for what we can and the people we reach, we'll do. So make sure you hit us up again. LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or email LCandJack@gmail.com. You got anything, Brad, before we hit the button? Until
yeah,
next
man,
week.
I'm about to head over to the Ale House and meet up with some of the boys, Norman and Skip, and I think John Gonzalez is going to watch the FSU and Florida game over at the Ale House in Deer Park. Yeah, so that's going to be a good look. You know, this holiday weekend, we're going to hang out and watch some good football, college football. Go
that's
FSU.
What's good.
Yes,
that's
sir.
What's good. I'm going to have to swing by there and join you, distinguished gentlemen. And whatever you do, please be safe. It is a great, great holiday weekend. Before you know it, Christmas will be knocking on our door. So enjoy the last couple days of the long weekend, and make sure you tune in next week to the next edition of the LC and Jack Radio Show. Till then, stay safe, stay sound. God bless.
Peace.